All right, if you have your Bibles, you can turn in them with me to Genesis chapter number 9. We'll be looking at verses 8 through 17 today, and what we find here is that this passage essentially closes out God's covenant with Noah by introducing the rainbow as the sign of the covenant. So follow along with me in Genesis chapter 9 as I read beginning at verse number 8. Then God said to Noah, and to his sons with him, behold, I establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the livestock, and every beast of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. It is for every beast of the earth. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. Lord, we ask you to bless this reading of your word. Father, open the eyes of our hearts so that we can see the truth of the gospel in it. And most of all, Lord, transform us by it in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 years ago, my wife and I were at the pastor's conference at the Answers in Genesis pastor's conference in Northern Kentucky. And on the second day of our conference, as we were leaving the hotel to go to the museum, the Creation Museum, where the conference was held, we were greeted by this massive, spectacular rainbow over the hotel where we were staying. One of the most beautiful, one of the clearest rainbows that I have personally ever seen. Providentially, on our conference agenda that day, we were to tour the park encounter, which is a full-size reproduction of Noah's Ark, built as closely as possible on the specs that God gave to Noah in Scripture. So it was a providential blessing to be able to see this real rainbow, right, on the day that we would go and see the ark. But see, the rainbow has always been associated with the ark. And in fact, it wasn't until 1978 when a drag queen performer named Gilbert Baker was commissioned to create a symbol of gay pride for the annual pride parade in San Francisco, California. It wasn't until then that what once was a symbol of biblical truth, a symbol of God's promise, had now become a symbol of man's depravity. But friends, this message from Genesis 9 is not about the folly of gay pride. But as fallen, sinful human beings often do, we have once again taken a beautiful gift of God and twisted it and abused and perverted the meaning of this gift in creation. Friends, it is high time that we take back the rainbow. It is not a symbol of gay pride, but it is a symbol. More accurately, it is a sign. And in the biblical covenants, signs always point to something beyond themselves, something greater than themselves. And in God's covenant with Noah, the sign of the rainbow basically serves two purposes. The first is that the rainbow is a sign to us of God's covenant promise, a sign to us that you keep God's covenant promise. Look at verse number 8. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, Behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your offspring after you. Every living creature, which is birds, livestock, every beast of the earth, as many as came out of the ark, it is for every beast of the earth. Four times in this passage, verses 8 through 17, you see the phrase every living creature, indicating that the covenant God made with Noah, he made with all living things. And it is a universal covenant. We said last week that God's covenant with Noah, what we call the Noahic covenant, is what many theologians call a common grace covenant. In Scripture, God's common grace is expressed as His goodness and providential care for all of humanity. Psalm 145, verse 9, really expresses this very nicely. It says, The Lord is good to all, and His mercy is over all that He has made. And down in verse 15 of Psalm 145, the psalmist writes, he says, The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all His ways and kind in all His works. See, God's goodness and grace to all creation, friends, is displayed in the very air that we breathe right now, in the food that we eat, the food that our planet produces, the weather cycles, the seasons that enable us to plant crops and reap a harvest. All of these are demonstrations of God's common grace to all people, righteous and unrighteous alike. And our text today says that the Noahic covenant was a covenant for all life. Animal life, human life, every living thing. So friends, even the vilest sinner who shakes his fist in the face of a holy God is a recipient of this common grace of God through this covenant with all life on earth. And it is a covenant of mercy. It's a covenant of mercy. Verse 11 says, I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. So God's promise here is one of mercy. We see this even back in chapter 8, verse 21, where God says, I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. You see, so though our sinful hearts remained fallen and evil after the flood, it is the steadfast mercy of God in this covenant that is displayed for every living thing on this planet. The mercy of God is His gracious disposition toward us, whereby He withholds the judgment and wrath we justly deserve. Withholds it. Lamentations 3:22 says, It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. Did you hear that? It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. That is the only thing keeping us from being consumed. Consumed by what? Consumed by the just and holy wrath of God. You see, the only thing that keeps this entire world from the hot wrath of God is His steadfast mercy. And so even those who have hijacked the rainbow as a symbol of sexual depravity can do so only because the mercy of God is extended to them through this very covenant promise. Have you ever recognized your need for mercy? Have you ever been in a position to grant mercy to one who deserved wrath? I can think of times when I was a teenager and I behaved in a foolish way. There were many of those times. And my behavior kindled the wrath of my father. But on several occasions, to my surprise, my father extended mercy to me. When I was expecting hot wrath, instead he perhaps gave me a verbal rebuke. And I was expecting something far more serious. He did not give me what I deserved. And that's how God is in this covenant promise. He is withholding his wrath. And this is the display of mercy to the earth. And this should point us to the truth that we are sinners who need mercy. But in our deceived, self-deceived, sinful hearts, we don't often see it that way, do we? We don't often recognize our need for mercy. We take His mercy for granted, and we live as if we are people who do not need it at all. You see, this really illustrated in John chapter 8 with the woman caught in adultery. Most of you know this account. You know the story very well. In John 8, we read that the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and placing her in the middle, right? They said to him, Teacher, they're talking to Jesus. They said, Jesus, Rabbi, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say? Verse 6 says, This they said to test him, that they might have some charge to bring against him. But you know what Jesus did next, right? Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. And as they continued to ask him, he stood up and said to them, Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her. And once more he bent down and wrote on the ground, but when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus stood up, so he's down on the ground this whole time, writing something in the dirt. We have no clue what he wrote. But whatever it was, it convicted the man with stones. And he stood up and he said to the woman, he said, Woman, where are they? Where are your accusers? Has no one condemned you? And she said, No one, Lord. And then Jesus said, Neither do I condemn you. Go, from now on, sin no more. Notice that it was the self-righteous teachers of the law who were quick to pick up stones because they would not acknowledge their need for mercy. Friends, how quick are we to pick up stones? You see, we are all recipients of God's mercy through this covenant. And no matter how righteous we think we are, we all stand in need of God's mercy. And so the rainbow is a sign then of God's promise to be merciful to us. So every time you see that bow in the sky, instead of thinking about how our culture has perverted this beautiful symbol, remember the mercy of God over your life. Second thing that we see in this passage is that the rainbow is a reminder to God of his covenant with us. So it's a sign to us of his promise, but it is a reminder to him. Verse 12, And God said, This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. We need to see, first of all, God's gracious initiative here. Notice the emphasis in the text. This is the sign of the covenant that who? I make. You know, we had covenant as a common grace covenant with all life on earth exist by divine, not human, initiative. And we need to let this truth get buried deep in our hearts this morning, that mercy, grace, and salvation are all extended to unbelieving sinners at God's initiative. Friends, in our sinful fallenness, we are not looking to make a covenant with God. If there's one thing that the history of the Old Testament, the history of God's people in the Old Testament demonstrates, it is that by default, we are covenant breakers. And the point I want to make here is that if there is any mercy, if there is any grace, if there is any salvation, it must come at God's sovereign initiative. By default, we are running away from God. What did Adam and Eve do in their sin? They ran and hid. It was God who came looking for them. And friends, it is God who always comes looking for us. Romans 3:10, 11, and 12 says, there is none who seek after God. That God demonstrates His grace, His gracious initiative by putting something in the sky. And notice that the text indicates very specifically that it was His boat. He said, I will put my bow in the sky. Verse 13, I have set my bow in the cloud. So friends, what our culture is doing right now with the rainbow is actually divine theft. We're stealing God's sign. And we're redefining it in our own sinful depravity. The rainbow belongs to God. And it points us to His gracious initiative toward a fallen and sinful world. It points us to God's grace. So yes, it is. It is time. It is past time for us to take back the rainbow. God put His bow in the clouds as a reminder to Himself of His promise of mercy to us. Verse 14, when I bring clouds over the earth. Now stop right there. What does that tell you right there? God is sovereign over the weather. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The word bow here in the Hebrew is used in the Old Testament to actually refer to the warrior's bow. The warrior's bow. And God, as it were, hung His bow in the sky because the battle was over. He will no longer wage war against us. Sinful though we are. And you know where this points us? The rainbow, friends, points us straight to Jesus Christ, because every arrow of divine justice was shot straight at the person of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. He endured the flood of God's righteous wrath so that we could be recipients of God's mercy. And there, friends, is the gospel in the rainbow. And God did this at His own initiative of sovereign grace. The bow is a sign of God's faithfulness. Verse 16 says, when the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant. What comes into your mind if you're married? What comes into your mind when you look at your wedding ring? Most likely your spouse. Your ring is a daily reminder of your lifelong marriage covenant with your spouse. And just like your ring, every time God looks at the rainbow that He sets in the sky, friends, He thinks about us. And His everlasting covenant of mercy with all of us and with all of life. But not all biblical covenants are everlasting, right? The Mosaic covenant, for example, was not. It was fulfilled in Christ, so that now we live under grace. But the Noahic covenant is an everlasting covenant. And this puts our attention on the faithfulness of God, because though we are covenant breakers, God is faithful. 2 Timothy 2, verse 13 says, if we are faithless, He remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. And you see what Paul is saying there to Timothy? If we are faithless, he remains faithful. Why? Because he cannot deny himself. He cannot deny the promise that he has made to us. And this text is actually, this in 2 Timothy, this is not a common grace text. This text is for God's people. For those who have trusted in Christ. If our faith wavers, God remains faithful. Because he cannot deny himself. Over and over again throughout all of Scripture, we see the unbelieving wicked and even the covenant people of God rebel and backslide into faithless unbelief. We are just a fallen people with wayward hearts, are we not? Isaiah 53:6, I remember this. I can still remember in kindergarten at Trinity Christian School, this was a memory verse that they made us learn. Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. We've gone astray. All of us like sheep. We wander around. And so we need the faithfulness of God to bind our wandering hearts to him. Friends, I have heard it said often that if it were possible for us to defect, for true believers to genuinely defect and fall away and ultimately lose our salvation, friends, if that were really possible, then we would surely find a way to do it. It is God's faithfulness and the promise of mercy that is communicated to us through the sign of the rainbow. And what has become a symbol of depravity in our day is in reality a sign of all of the goodness of God that comes to us through Jesus Christ. And as you know, we don't see rainbows on sunny days, do we? Most likely we're not going to see one today. We only see rainbows after the storm, after the rain. And friends, the greatest storm the universe has ever experienced took place on Calvary's Hill as the sinless Son of God stood under the flood of God's wrath for sinners. Tim Keller, he says this, on the cross, the storm of eternal justice and the Son of God's love come together, and that's why you have a rainbow. Every time you look into the heart of the storm and you see the rainbow of grace, you remember that's where Jesus went. He went into the heart of God's wrath out of love for us. Friends, the rainbow points us to Christ. So we must turn from our own sinful pursuit of righteousness, self-righteousness, and we must cling to His. We must turn from our sin and put our wholehearted trust in the Lord Jesus, through whom we have the forgiveness of sins. Do you understand your need for mercy this morning? Do we understand the grace that we have in Christ? And friends, regardless of what storm is wreaking havoc on your life right now, regardless of what flood you find yourself in, Christ is your rainbow. He is your promise of mercy and grace. So trust in Him today. Let's pray.